tell you, I thank the Lord for your pastor and for all the notes that he takes. Amen. I'm glad he takes notes. That's why he never graduated from high school, because he never took the right notes. Amen. Yeah, he's been a good friend. How many of you remember, some of you weren't here at the time, but the 1990 when we held the first revival meetings here. Anybody remember? You remember what he did with my daughters? How many of you remember what he did with my daughters? And my daughters would do the, back then, the young teenagers, they did the puppet ministry. And he would get them up behind the pulpit and put a curtain up here. And then he would talk to them like he's talking about me. And he got them involved in it, and I'll tell you. And they've been in trouble ever since, preacher. I'm just saying, amen. The book of Acts again with me this evening, please, in chapter 11. And it is a privilege, I mean that, to be here tonight. Your pastor told me last night at the end of the message that a number of folks came forward. I said, yeah, I saw that. And he said, well, I went forward too. And he said, because I had to pray to see if I was going to come back tonight and get more or not, amen. But so I'm glad he came back, aren't you? Amen. Well, Acts in chapter 11 with me, and it is good to be in the house of God tonight, and I thank the Lord that I can be here again with you this year. We none of us have any guarantee of tomorrow, amen. I might be home with the Lord tomorrow. You might be home with the Lord tomorrow. I hope not. I mean, I hope that we're still here, and but if the rapture takes place, I'm out of here. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be here. I hope you're not either, because I know where I'm going when the rapture takes place. And if I die, I know where I'm going. Amen. Acts chapter 11, and would you stand with me just for a moment, one more time, as we read. I'm just going to read one verse in this text tonight, because I didn't get through all this last night, and I want to come back to this thought again this evening. And verse 26, the Bible says, now remember Barnabas, when he had gone down here to Antioch, where some Gentiles had gotten saved, and Jerusalem wanted the proof of what was going on, and so they sent Barnabas down there, who was full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. And now he goes back and he gets Paul, and when he comes back with, well, Saul, it says, but Paul, in verse 26, said, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people. Now watch again, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, Father, thank you for your word, and thank you again for the privilege that we can gather around it this evening, Father. I pray, dear God, that you'd have your will accomplished here tonight. Help us, Father, to glean from this text and from your word tonight, from different verses, Father, that which would help each one of us, and that you'd be glorified on top of that, Lord. First and foremost, Father, that you'd be glorified. And then, Heavenly Father, I pray if there might be someone here tonight that's not saved, that you would speak to that heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing with me for a few moments. And you remember last night I told you that the first time in Scripture where the word Christian or the term Christian is ever used is right here in this passage. Then 15 chapters later in chapter 26 of the book of Acts, you see where it's used a second time, where King Agrippa says to Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. And then you see it again over there in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, where it says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. Three times in the New Testament where the word Christian is used. But many times when we use the word Christian, we use it so loosely today that everybody thinks they're a Christian. Everybody thinks that they're believers. Everybody thinks that they're born again. And I showed you last night that you can be a believer. Now listen to me, don't take this the wrong way, but you can be a believer, but not necessarily be a Christian. There's a difference between being a Christian. A Christian denotes a lifestyle. It denotes the way that you live. We say Christian, and we use the term so loosely anymore, that people who live wicked and ungodly and impure and unholy want to be teamed up with me. And I tell you what, I don't want that. If you say that you're a Christian, then you ought to be living like a Christian. Amen? You ought to be living like a born-again believer, someone who really has Jesus Christ on the inside. Now, if you continue to call other people Christians, I'm not going to fault you for that. I just want to open your mind up to some things of truth in the Word of God. You remember last night as we looked at this text and looked at this thought that one thing that identified them as being a Christian is that when they saw, when Barnabas came in verse 23, remember it says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, God was glad. And that word glad there is, it means rejoice. It means joyful or rejoicing. It means sometimes almost like, hi, I'm happy to see you. It's the idea of exaltation in your heart when you come into somebody. And I scared you half to death last night when I said, hi, you know, and she jumped up here. It's not that kind of hi. I'm just glad to see you. Or it means even sometimes, and when you're leaving, Godspeed. I'm going to miss you, but I'm glad you were here. Is the thought of glad in this text. And they were glad, they rejoiced when they saw the grace of God. And I told you that the fellow who let me in the Lord is not Baptist. I love him to death. He's a Nazarene fella. I don't beat up the Nazarene. Amen. I thank God for him. He came and visited me in prison when the Baptists weren't doing it back in that day. Brother, amen. It was before Rock of Ages prison ministry was around, and he would come and visit with me in the prison, and he gave me the gospel, and I got saved by the grace of God. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. Him and I go round and round all the time. He asked me a number of years back. He said, I'm talking 25 years ago, he sent me $1,000, and he said, when I die, you have to promise me that you'll come back and do my funeral for me. And I said, I will. And I made that promise to him, and I will do that. Amen. And I said, that's the only time I'm going to preach in a Nazarene church. You know, and he says, he always asks me, how come you don't preach? How come you won't come and preach in our Nazarene church, in our good Nazarene church? Of course, I pick on him. Don't take this the wrong way for Nazarene. I pick on him something fierce. I say, I didn't know there was such a thing. Amen. And then he gets on me, you know, then we just go back and forth and we have a good time. And he told me, he says, when you die, I won't do my funeral. I said, yep, I already know what I'm going to say. He said, we got to talk about that. I said, no, you'll be dead. I said, I already know what I'm going to say. He said, what are you going to say? I said, my first words, open remarks are going to be this. Carl Novy did not believe in eternal security, but hallelujah, tonight he does. Amen. And he said, over my dead body. I said, it will be. It will be over your dead body. And that, I would never do that. I would not start that way to hurt anybody. I just laugh with him. We go, my wife said, you guys sound like you're mad at each other, amen. I said, well, I am. I'm madly right. He's madly wrong, amen. What can I say? I love him to death and haven't seen him in quite a while now. It's been about a year, I guess, since I've seen him. And I thank the Lord for him. But they rejoiced when he saw God's grace. He saw what God was doing. And I said that to make this statement. Not everybody is a Baptist, amen. They ought to be, but not everybody is a Baptist. Now, if you're not a Baptist, don't take that the wrong way. I'm just simply saying that I am by choice and I am by conviction. Amen. I wasn't born a Baptist. I think it was Curtis Hudson who used to say, Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I tell you, I wasn't Baptist born, I wasn't Baptist bred, but when I die, I will be Baptist dead. Amen. And I hope I don't die too soon. I'll be with the Lord if I do. Hallelujah. They rejoiced when they saw God's grace. And I said that meant like this, not everybody is of our stripe, but when I hear the people are saved, I get excited about it. Amen. I go into restaurants and see people sitting there praying. And I saw a guy praying down in Virginia Beach once. I'm going 30 years ago. Praying at a table at Virginia Beach. And my wife and I and my daughters were there. And I walk over to where he was at. And I said, I'm glad to see you praying before your meal. And he said, well, what denomination? I said, I'm independent, fundamental, redneck Baptist. Amen. Baptist. And he said this. He said, well, I'm Baptist-costal. Never heard of such a thing in my life, amen. But praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I rejoiced with him there, amen. Praise the Lord, I'm glad you're... I'm glad, amen. I rejoice over that. The people are saved by the grace of God. They don't have to be exactly like me for me to get along with them, you know, and to talk with them and to pray with them. I got a friend up in Michigan he'll preach anywhere. I mean, he's preached in the Catholic Church. He's preached in the Lutheran Church. He's invited everywhere to preach. He's an ex-cop. You know, I'm an ex-con. They had us doing a men's conference one time together years ago, you know, and they have advertised men that God uses, and they wanted to handcuff us together. I said, no way I'm going to be handcuffed to something that big, dumb, and ugly looking, amen. But I rejoiced with them. Him and I, Brother Tom and I used to get down and we'd pray together. Pray together. And I never heard a man pray like he prays. Why? And I rejoice. Why? Because he's a born-again believer. They rejoice. One thing that showed that they were born-again believers, that they were Christians, is they rejoiced when they saw the grace of God working in people's lives. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I told you last night, you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved by the very grace of God. But there's a difference in having the Holy Spirit of God and being filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God will come out of your life, and you can't help but for people to see the Spirit of God working in your heart, working in your life. We call that the grace of God today, amen, because the grace of God, the word grace simply means God's divine influence in your heart, in your life, that manifests or shows itself on the outward. And we ought to have the grace of God working in our lives. Amen? We ought to have the grace of God working in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. And when we say that we are a Christian, we say that we're saved, we say that we're believers, people ought to be able to identify with that other than by what we're saying. It's sad that today, the only thing people hear is they hear it, or see is they hear it, but they don't see it in many lives of people who say they're Christians. I want to tell you that to be a Christian is a lifestyle. Well, look at verse 26. We'll pick up on the next thought this evening for a little bit. And I'm not going to elaborate. I'm going to try not to elaborate long. I want to get done with this message tonight because I got something the Lord put on my heart for tomorrow night. Amen. He says here in verse 26, and after he'd gone back, he says, then he departed in verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Now let me stop there. I can just hear this conversation in my mind. I get this mind that works funny sometimes. I can get this conversation in my mind between Barnabas and Saul, and Barnabas goes to him and says, you gotta come with me. You gotta see this. You gotta see what God is doing down here. Come on, pack up. Get your bags ready. We're going, you know. And I can just hear Barnabas talking to Saul and getting excited to come down to Antioch, actually, or to go up to Antioch. He says this, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And there's a comma, you could end that statement right there. I'm going to pick up with the rest of that in just a minute. And I wrote down in my notes simply this, that they were called Christians first in Antioch. Another reason was because they gathered together. They gathered with the people. And so when they gathered with the people, look, can I tell you this? You can say that you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, but how much time do you spend at the house of God? If you tell your neighbors that you're saved, and you stay home all the time, when I was a kid growing up, and somebody told me they were a Christian, you know what I knew? I knew they went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen? And if they had revival meetings, they were at the revival meetings. They just went, because that was a thing that Christians did. They were in church. They didn't come to the dances where we came. They didn't come to the parties where I went. They didn't go to the sugar shack where I hung out on Friday nights with the rest of my friends. They didn't do the things that we did. They didn't go to the parties I went to. They were Christians. They were not involved in the worldly things like many of us of that age and that time were back in the 60s. These people were serious about their life. And if you said that you were a Christian, people expected to see something different about you. My wife and I, after we got married, we attended the church where she grew up, New Lyme Baptist Church in New Lyme, Ohio. And as we walked into that church in New Lyme, Ohio, I got in and I saw somebody sitting at the organ. The organ was on this side, the piano had been over on this side. And I saw somebody sitting at the organ when I walked in that back door, and I looked, and there's what I saw. There was a young lady sitting there at the organ playing, and I asked my wife, I said, how long has she been coming to the church? And she says, she grew up here in this church. I said, really? I was shocked. Really? She said, yeah, her father's a deacon in this church. I said, really? She said, yeah. She used to go to the same parties I went to. Never knew she was a Christian. Here's what she used to tell the youth group in that church, pastor. She would say, I go to the dances, the school dances and the parties and with the other people so that I can be a witness to them. She dated my best friend. Never witnessed to me. Never told me about Jesus Christ. Never gave me the gospel. Listened to the same jokes I listened to. listen to the same music I listen to, dance to the same songs I dance to. I can't dance, amen. listen to the same things I did. Did some of the same things I did. But did not know. I did not know she was a Christian. That shocked me. To find out that she was attending a church and never said one word to me about Jesus Christ. That's sad. Isn't that not sad? Amen. That's where a lot of people are today in our churches. That's a sad place to be. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "Forsake not the gathering yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching," or the day of Christ coming. Amen. So, and so much exhort one another, so much more as ye see the day approaching, or when Christ will come back for you and I. And we ought to assemble together. And want to assemble together. I was home in our home church a year ago. I was still going through some treatment and some things from my heart, and I had a week off, and I can't remember, my wife was somewhere. I think she was out with our daughter packing up, getting ready for my daughter and her husband to move to Michigan for him to take a church there. And as I was at home, we had revival meetings in our church. And I couldn't wait to get into church every night. I knew the evangelist, but I never heard him preach a message in his life. And I was looking forward to hearing him every night. And I couldn't wait every day. I couldn't wait to get in there on Sunday and hear him preach. Couldn't wait to get back in there Sunday night and hear him preach. Couldn't wait to get in there Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Because I like the preaching of the Word of God. And I like them when they preach to me. Amen. I like to hear the Bible preached. I enjoy that. Why? Because I need it. I need that. By the way, you need it. And you need it more than, don't take it, or don't get mad at me, but you need it more than just once a week. You need it more than just once a week. I'm saddened when I get in some churches where preachers have retired. Some preachers have retired and they don't go to church. But yet when they were in their pulpits preaching to people, they say you need to be in the house of God Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You should be in the house of God. But yet now that they're retired pastors, they don't go to church. They might go Sunday morning and that's all you'll see them. It's not because they have physical problems. It's not because of the difficulties in their life. It's just because they have chosen to be lazy and not be in the house of God. That's sad. I've lost respect for some preachers that I've known for many years. But by the grace of God, there go I. Amen? I'm just telling you. I hope the Lord will help me to stay straight in those areas. I don't ever plan on retiring, but you never know. You never know what will happen to me next year, next tomorrow. You don't know. They gather together. We ought to gather together. We ought to purpose in our heart to serve God, to gather together in the house of God, to do what God would have us to do. Now look at number verse 27 with me, if you will. In fact, verse 27 says this. It says, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch." There were some that came, prophets, he said, that came from Jerusalem down to Antioch. Some Jew prophets that came down to Antioch. And watch what it said. "And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar." I don't have this written right in my notes, so I'm going to go from memory, but in the days of Claudius Caesar, there were three great famines. His second year of reign, there was a great famine that went through that area. And then and Rome. And then in the fourth and fifth year, there was another great famine. And that famine affected all the way into Antioch and other portions of the world. But they believe it was the third famine, which was in the 14th year of his reign. He had three famines in that 14-year period in his reign, Claudius Caesar. And in that third famine, they said this, that it came to the point where just for him and his in Rome, in the Rome area, that there was only enough food for 15 days left to feed the people. And that famine spread way out and around. And they believe that's the one that possibly affected Antioch at that time, in Jerusalem and Judea at that time. He stood up and he said, "This is going to happen. This is what's going to come to place." And then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Can you imagine that? These disciples decided what? They were called Christians first in Antioch. So they weren't just attending the church, but these individuals here were givers. And we ought to be givers, amen. I'm not saying that for you to give to me. I'm just simply saying we ought to be givers. And giving starts, can I tell you, giving starts with your tithe. Awful quiet now. Giving starts with your tithe. Amen. He said, what's tithe, Brother Mike? Well, it's the first fruits, according to the book of Proverbs. Give the first fruits of thine increase, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest prosper. He said, give the first, that's off the top. Listen, that's before Uncle Sam gets his. Now it's quiet. We have a fellow in our church that has talked for over 20 years about going into evangelism. And he's told me a number of times he's going into evangelism. And this year he called me and said, I believe God has called me to be an evangelist. And I don't know. I don't really see it in his life or in, you know, I think he's got a burden. Amen. I hope it's a call and I hope that the Lord will use him. But I think he has a burden. But he asked me this question. He's been going to our church in Michigan for 25 or 26 years now, I believe. He's been going there quite a long time. And he told me, he said this to me. He's driving truck now, so whenever he gets a break and he has to be on his downtime, his 10 hours downtime, he'll give me a call on the phone and talk to me. And he says, I got a question for you. He said, when I tithe, do I tithe off my net income or off my gross income? And I'm thinking in my mind, it just threw me for a loop because he's been in our church. He knows what's preached. He's read our doctrinal statement. He's been part of our church for over 20 years now, Pastor Bacino. And he knows that we teach you tithe off the top. That's the gross income. He said, boy, I've been robbing God all these years. And I said, well, let me tell you what. You're never going to make it up. Amen. You can't make it up. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can confess that to God and make it right with him right now. And if you confess it to him and make it right with him, you start from here forward and do it the right way. Amen?
Amen.
If you haven't been tithing, confess it to God, make it right with God, and start from here forward, and just go on forward and do what you need to do as your part as a believer in Jesus Christ. The sad truth is, only a few people really give their tithe in a church. Most people eat the apple and give God the leftover, to give him the apple core. Anybody in here ever eat the apple core? I eat the apple. I even chew on the stem if it's left in there, amen. I eat the whole stinking thing, the seeds and all. I mean, I chew them up. I do. I eat the seeds. I eat everything. And they say there's a little bit of poison in the seed. I said, that's right. When I die, they're going to question my wife about what she's been putting on my food, amen. So it's documented that I eat the seed of the apple. So if I die, somebody's going to give them the tape. And I hope they hear the gospel through that, amen. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, the word cheerful giver there is almost a term he told me, I've never really looked up, hilarious. That means you give with excitement. When I was preaching in our home church one time, when our other pastor, he was with us 38 years as our pastor, and then he went off into itinerant ministry, and Pastor Swearinger was our associate, and I was back preaching. He's our pastor now. But I was back preaching in church, and when Pastor Beach was our pastor, he was on vacation, and I'm preaching Sunday morning. I'm leaving that Monday for meetings. I'm taking off, getting ready to go to start another revival meeting. But he had me preaching for him that Sunday when he was on vacation. So I preached for him, and I made this statement of Paul, but I was preaching on tithing that day, amen. And that's the best time to do it, Sunday morning. Everybody's there, amen? And so I preached on tithe that morning, and when I was done, I said, listen, and I ended up with that verse. I said, here's what I want you to do. Next Sunday morning, when Pastor Beach is back here, and he says it's time for the tithe and offering, I want everybody to stand up and say, amen, or hallelujah, praise the Lord. Just get excited about this, and you'll throw them for a loop. Well, they didn't do it Sunday morning. And they told me why, because we had a lot of visitors there. They didn't want to scare everybody half to death. Amen. That might be a good thing. They're not like me, a big mouth, you know. And well, some of them are, but they're not all like that. And then, but they did it Sunday night. So when he said Sunday evening, let's take up the tithe and the offering, they stood up and said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. And he said, oh, Brother Mike wants to put you up to this, amen. And then he said this, he said, now that you're standing up, it's easier for you to get to your wallets and your pocketbooks. You get them out, put some money in the offering plate. So praise the Lord. So something worked, amen. Luke chapter 12 verse 15 says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We like to hang on to as much as we can hang on to. Amen. We like to just hang on to it. We ought to be givers. We ought to be givers. We ought to be givers to the missionaries that you support in this church. And I thank the Lord. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I thank the Lord for this church and what they do in our ministry. You've supported me almost from the first year that I was here, I think, back in 1990, around that time. And you've not missed a lick since. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. I praise God for that. And I know you have other missionaries that you support here. The money goes out to them. I know they appreciate it the same way that I appreciate it. Amen. And we thank God for that. But there's more to giving than just supporting the missionary. There's more to giving than just putting a little bit of tithe in the envelope. I mean, if you've been saved any length of time, you ought to be doing more than your tithe. You ought to be doing above and beyond. You ought to become a giver in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. And there's more giving to be done than just giving money. There's giving time to the work of the house of God and the church. It ought not to be left up for a few people to do a few things, but everybody ought to be involved in the house of God. You say, well, I'm too old to do it anymore. You're not too old to pray. You're not too old to come to church and pray, amen. You're not too old to stop doing that. You ought to be in the house of God praying, amen. When the pastor calls for a prayer meeting, you ought to show up. Hallelujah. Well, that's awful quiet again. You say, you preach like this all the time. Yeah, no, I'm harder on my people in our home church, amen. Because I know them. I know where their heart lies, because I see them all the time when I'm back in that area. Look at me, verse 22. They were givers. They gathered together. They were attenders. They were givers. And then verse 22 says here in the book of Acts, chapter 11, it says this. It says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. They were senders. They were senders. And that's what you do when you have missionaries. I understand, I think you took on one or two missionaries this year, I think, in out of the church here. Well, praise the Lord for that, amen. You were senders. What would be even more exciting is when you send somebody out of your own church into the ministry. I'm convinced today that we don't see a lot of that anymore because people are just so disinterested in it. And when somebody's child says, I think I'd like to go off to Bible college because I think God has called me to the ministry, or because God has called me to the mission field, or because God has called me to Africa or something, I've seen the parents pull in the reins and hold them back. Well, that ought not to be that way. It ought not to be so. We ought to be excited about going into the ministry and do things. I thank God I got a 13-year-old granddaughter when she was 11 years old was called to go to Africa. And this last year she did a missions trip to Kenya. Her mother went with her, Danelle, and my granddaughter Kaya went with, they went to Africa together, and Kaya's all excited about going. That she believes God's called her to Africa. If we know He's called her to missions, I believe He's called me to Kenya. And she's all excited about going to Kenya when she gets old enough and graduates from Bible college. I praise the Lord. I got a little 11-year-old grandson that when he was 9 years old or 10 years old, he went forward in an old camp meeting. I was not there. I went forward in a camp meeting up in Michigan and gave his heart to the Lord and said, God has called me to preach. And you cannot convince him any other way in his life that he's not called to preach. He's 11 years old now, Pastor. God has called that boy to preach, and he knows it. And he said, I'm going to prepare and serve God and preach the Word of God. That's what he wants to do with his life. We don't see that much in a lot of churches anymore. And my daughter and my son-in-law have encouraged him in that direction, encouraged him in taking notes, encouraged him with the Bible, encouraged him with things to help and to prepare him for the ministry. And not hold him back and I say, no, you're too young to make a decision like that. Never say that. I know a man that years ago when he was 10 years old went forward in a church. He said, in a camp, a Christian camp, he said, I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've ever heard his name, but it's Tim Teal. You know Tim Teal, brother? I don't know if you ever met Tim Teal or not. A tremendous preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, I was called to preach. He said, you called a pastor? He said, I don't know, but I'm called to preach, amen. So I said, no, I'm called to preach. You say, Brother Mike, you ever pastored? Yeah, and that's why I'm preaching now, amen. That's why I'm here. I'm not pastoring anymore. They couldn't put up with me any longer. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and verse 47 says, And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We need to send people out to all nations. Amen. We need to be involved in the missions giving of the church. We need to be involved in sending missionaries out. You need to be involved in encouraging your children to go in the direction of a ministry somewhere, somehow, some shape, some form. And I always say this, why don't you just choose to serve God and ask God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? How do you want me to serve you? Regardless if it's in the local church or regardless if it's out in the community or if it's off to some foreign country, ask God what he wants you to do. Amen. Ask him. We had a fellow back in our home church back in Ohio years ago when he was when he retired from Eaton Axle Corporation in Cleveland, Ohio, when he was about 60 years old. And he went off to Massillon Baptist College in Massillon, Ohio at the age of about 60 years old and became a missionary to the military in our country here until he passed away a few years back. He retired and retired to go into the ministry. God called him to preach, and he did a great job. What happened to people? Now we retire, we just quit everything. We ought not to quit everything. We ought to be involved in the ministry of the church, amen. If nothing else, man, come pick up a hammer, pick up a saw, do something to help the local assembly of body believers that it can continue to send somebody forth into the mission field. We had to do our part as believers in Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28:19, remember he said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said in Mark 16:15, he said, And them go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to preach to every creature, teach every creature, send for every creature to hear. We ought to be involved in order to send. Amen. I remember when I went to Papua New Guinea, back in 2006, I believe it was, when I was there. And I was up in the mountains, and they wanted me to come back. I can't go that far now with my heart the way it is right now anyway, you know. But when I was there, I'll never forget. I was preaching. I was in Bena preaching. I was in Simbai preaching. And in Simbai we had about as many as 1,500 people come out and walk 3 days. Some of them walk 3 days. I mean, they start at daylight, quit at dark, walk 3 days to come to the meeting. And then you eat all your meals right there. You name it. They cook it in the ground on these big hot rocks and, you know, cover it up with dirt after they put banana leaves on it, you know, and underneath it. And then they serve it to you on a banana. Man, tremendous food, boy. I tell you, it was good stuff. And they didn't want me to eat a lot of it because my stomach, they didn't think, could handle that. I tell you, this stomach can handle a lot, let me tell you. So I would get what I could get sometimes from them. But I'll never forget, as I was preaching one night, and I was preaching about hell. And I made this statement from the pulpit. I said, in hell tonight, and of course I was really wound into it. I said, if you put this microphone, because we had a generator run, we had a microphone so everybody could hear me in the back of the, underneath the tent, the canopy and stuff, and I don't know, all kinds of stuff they built to build a tabernacle. If you could lower this down to hell tonight, you would hear this probably. Mercy! Have mercy! And that's how I handled it. I just yelled and had, and you know, all of a sudden, all these national pastors, about 12 to 13, 14, 15 of them, something like that, got up and they all came forward and they knelt down all around the altar. And that ground was muddy. It was dirt. There was no grass on that ground. It was all dirt, been trampled down, all filthy. And they get down on their knees and they would lay out on the grass, on that ground, like this at the altar, with their face down, their face buried in the dirt, and just praying. And when it was all over, I asked them, what were you praying? What were you saying? Because I could not understand the pidgin language. I could not understand the talk place, which was a tribal tongue. And this is what they told me. They said, Brother Mike, we know that we cannot do anything about our ancestors who are in hell crying. We were praying for God to send forth people to our people, out of our people, to preach the gospel. And there's a number of them young men that became evangelists, pastors, a number of them that are pastors starting little churches over there up in the mountain area, preaching to their people the gospel of Jesus Christ. We saw 125 people come to Christ that week underneath that canopy that they had put up. I was preaching in Benna a few weeks later after that. I was over there for 3.5 weeks. I was preaching in the area of what they call Benna. We had a big tent. There was a valley. And over on this side of the valley, down in the edge of the valley, there was a tribe of people there. The pastor who was helping to sponsor that meeting came from that tribe of people. His father hated him because he turned his back on tradition of the tribe when he got saved by the grace of God. His mother was a Lutheran, attended the Lutheran church over on the next mountain. And he did not want anything to do. His father came out to the meetings. We started on Monday night. His father got saved on Saturday night of those revival meetings. His father got saved. And he says, it's because somebody came to me one day and told me I need to get saved. I got saved. And they sent me to Bible college. We need to send. Amen. We need to do everything in our power to encourage these young folks and stuff, and even some other folks that have gotten saved to serve God and to follow God and obey God. And you're never too old to go to Bible college. You're never too young to say God's called you to preach. You just better make sure it's of the Lord. These folks were senders. They sent them down here to Antioch. They were encouraged when they got there. They stayed with them. And then in verse 23, verse 26, the Bible says this, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Exhorted them to cleave unto the Lord. That's the teaching aspect. Because you go on down to verse 26, it says, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They were teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says to you and I, for when their time ought to be, there ought to be a time in your life that you ought to be teachers. Ye have need of one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And if we've been saved any length of time, we ought to be eating meat and not drinking milk all the time. He said, but there's some that ought to be teachers. Now, that's for every one of us. I'm not talking about just being a teacher in a church and having a bunch of children underneath you in Sunday school. I'm talking about that you ought to take up the mantle, and you ought to be somebody gets saved and you see them. You ought to be a helper to the pastor of this church, and you ought to say, I'll disciple that one preacher, or I'll disciple this one, and sit down with them with a Bible and go through scripture with them and teach them what it means to be baptized, teach them what it means to give, teach them what it means to serve God, teach them what it means to live holy, teach them what it means to be in the house of God, amen, and you lead by example. And there's a time in a person's life when they ought to be teachers of others and not just babies themselves yet. You know what I say? Pull up your big boy pants and put on your big girl dresses and just do it for God, amen. Go forward for Jesus Christ. Quit sitting back in the comfort of the church. Quit sitting there and saying, that's for somebody else to do. That's what somebody else ought to do. Leave that to the preacher. Leave that to the preacher's wife. Leave that to the Sunday school teacher. Leave it to the deacon. No, we ought to all be involved in the house of God. Go over and read Ephesians chapter 4 later on, where he gave some apostles and some prophets, and he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, amen. And then he said, for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. They are teaching you for the work of the ministry. We ought to all be involved in the work of the ministry. And I believe that's what Paul and Barnabas were doing here in Antioch. They were teaching them what it meant to be involved in the ministry in the house of God. And we ought to want to be involved. I hope you're involved. I really do. I mean, pastor don't tell me what to preach or amen. And, he probably like to, but he doesn't. Amen. Just kidding. He shook his head. No. But I'm just saying, listen, my folks, I've been around the track a few times over the years. Pastor the church. I told a guy in our church one time years ago, Brother Bacino, I told him, I said, Brother Art, I said, he was one of my deacons, and when I resigned the church, was going into evangelism, I told him, I said, Brother Art, can I tell you something? And we butted heads a few times, you know, there, he was a good man. I really liked him. I really did. I said, can I be honest with you about something? He said, yep. I was getting ready to leave. You know, I had about a month left there, I think, after I resigned. And I said, well, Larry, says, you have been the biggest thorn in my flesh since I've been here. He said, you did. I sure did. And his face got red from here to here. I said, no, I said, please, don't get mad at me. I said, I want you to hear the rest of it. And he said, okay. I said, I'm going to tell you why. See, he went to Bible college for 1 year. 1 year. And he was supposed to have a 4-year program. He went for 1 year and quit to make money. And became a pretty good businessman. And I said, I'm going to tell you why, Art. I said, you were called to preach. You should have been pastor in this church or another church. And he dropped his head to his chest like this. He started bawling like a baby. And he said, preacher, he said, you're right. You know, we ought to be involved in the ministry. Amen. We ought to be involved in ministry. But can I tell you, this is only one pastor in the church. I didn't hear any amens there. There's only one pastor in the church, not multiple pastors. There's only one under-shepherd in the church. That's pastor. There's only one shepherd over him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God the Father, led by the Holy Spirit of God. And we ought to be involved in the house of God and the church of God to help the church grow in the very grace of God. And when people walk in that door, they would be glad and rejoicing when they see the grace of God working in your hearts. That's what it ought to be. It's not like that a lot of times. Amen? It's not like that a lot of times, but it ought to be. It ought to be. You need to determine in your heart what you're going to do for the Lord. You need to determine in your heart. Say, this is what I'm going to, I'm going to do it and just trust God. And I'm going to go forward and trust God and be obedient to God with my Christian life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Are you a Christian? It seems like it's a little bit quieter every time I ask a question, amen? It's like that guy I asked one time on the road. I walked into a Burger King with my cup to fill up my cup of coffee, and he's standing over here in the corner. He's about this tall, and it's sort of ugly looking, you know, and he had long hair. That's not why he was ugly looking. He was rough looking. I mean, he was rough looking. He had a shirt on. On the back of his t-shirt, it said, by his stripes, we are healed. And I thought, I walked over to him and touched him on his shoulder. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, you can. I said, do you know what that shirt means? The saying on the back of your shirt, do you know what that means? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, then explain it to me. What does it mean? He said, it means Jesus Christ died for my sin. And I asked him to forgive me and save me by his grace. He said, I'm a born-again believer. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, I am too. He said, well, praise the Lord. I said, yeah, praise the Lord. I said, so I tighten the thumb screws up. Amen? I mean, you tell me you're a believer, but I want to know more about it now. So I asked him, I said, how long have you been saved? And he told me, now this is going back into the 90s. You know, and I said, how long have you been saved? And I think he said, if I remember, I think he said, I've been saved 2 years. I said, praise the Lord. So I said, what year? He said, well, 1990 or 92, something like that. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, I got saved 1974. And I said, I got saved in Ohio. He said, I got saved, I think he said, Oklahoma, if I remember right. I said, praise the Lord. I said, where were you when you got saved? And he went like this. He went, That was telling me something. And he says, I was saved in the Oklahoma State Prison. And I said, praise the Lord! I was saved in the Ohio State Prison! And then he says, I got saved on my fourth year in. I got saved my fourth year in. Amen? Now we're rejoicing. Amen? We're having a good time. And that's about how we were talking. It's almost like we had three or four older couples in front of us. It was like this, come on, Mary, get your purse. Let's get out of this place. Amen? So if you ever want a quick cup of coffee, get in line with me and just start asking about when I got saved. Amen. We ought to be excited just about the things of God. Amen. And the grace of God and what He's done in other people's lives, what He has done in our lives. And we ought to want to serve Him with a whole heart in the house of God, doing what He wants us to do. Are you saved? Have you been born again? I know I'm saved. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're saved? Not just like, I think I am. Well, I hope I am. Well, I might be. No. I know. It's not that I think I am. I know I am. It's not that I hope I am. I know I am. It's not that I might be. No, I am. Amen. I'm 100% sure about that. I have no question in my mind about my salvation. Not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. Do you know for sure? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I would hope that being a born-again believer, saved by the grace of God, and I'll call you a Christian. I won't change my mind on that. I just wanted us to have an idea about what it meant to be a Christian born again, saved by the very grace of God. Are you saved? Let me ask you this way tonight, and I've done this a couple times this week. I'm going to do it again tonight. If you can say, Mike, I know I'm saved. I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know I'm saved. Slip your hand up in the air. I know I'm saved. I know I'm boring. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Amen. You can put them down. If you could not, put your hand up. If you could not. I'm not going to embarrass you. I make that promise to you. But if you could not put your hand up, would you just look up here just for a minute? Just look at me just for a minute. Would you do it? Look right up here where I'm at. If you could not put your hand up, all right. Let me ask you a question. Just shake your head, yes or no. Don't say a word, all right, okay? You're not sure, are you? Would you like to be sure? When I give the invitation, would you just slip out and come? We'll have someone talk to you for a few minutes. We won't. Listen, every head's going to be bowed and every eye's going to be closed. Would you talk to somebody afterwards? Would you do that? All right. I just need a commitment. I want you to talk to somebody afterwards. I'll have you talk to somebody. We'll get somebody to talk with you, okay? Alone, privately, just talk with you for a little bit and show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you have eternal life. The most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. Amen? You can bow your head again. Thank you. Anybody else tonight? You could not raise your hand a moment ago? Could not raise your hand a moment ago. Just look up here at me. Just look up where I'm at. That's the most important thing you'll ever... Listen, I am so happy I got down on my knees in that prison cell and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me and to save me by His grace. I have not been the same since. And tonight, maybe you'd slip up your hand and say, Mike, could you just pray for me? Because there's some things you talked about tonight with the Lord did speak to my heart. The Lord spoke to my heart. Would you just pray for me tonight? How about it? God bless you. I see some hands. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Others, praise the Lord. Amen. You can put them down. Anybody else tonight? The Lord, God bless you, young lady. Praise the Lord. And anybody else tonight? You just slip up your hand and say, that's me. God bless you, sir. I see you in the back. Anybody else tonight? Just pray for me. God bless you, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Anybody else tonight? Just pray for me. The Lord spoke in my heart. I need to be part. I need to take part. I need to do my part as a believer in Jesus Christ. Not just say I'm a Christian, but believe and live like I'm a Christian. How about it right now? Anybody else tonight? Say, pray for me. God bless you, sir. Praise the Lord. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you, young lady. Praise the Lord. I see your hand. Anybody else this evening like that tonight before I go to the Lord in prayer? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Stand to your feet just for a moment, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed as we stand to our feet. And I want you to do this. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight and you said, Mike, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I want you to slip out of your seat right now and come up to the altar tonight. Come on. You slip out and come. God bless you, ma'am. Praise the Lord. God bless you, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Come on. Somebody raise your hand. You ought to slip out. You ought to be the first ones up here tonight. There's kneelers up here in front of the pews. You can get that, or you can go down right at the altar. But if you raise your hand, come on, young lady, you slip out and come. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight and you raise your hand. You ought to slip out and come. Let God do in your heart what He wants to do. Many of you others raise your hand tonight. You ought to be up here at the altar. Come on, sir. God bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. Anybody else tonight? The Lord spoke to your heart. You ought to slip out. You ought to come. I'll let God do in your heart what He wants to do in your heart tonight. Come out. Come and let Him speak to your heart. Let Him speak to your heart. Let Him speak to you tonight as He has spoken to your heart. Father, I thank You for these who slipped out and have come forward tonight. Father, You know the heart. You know the very desire in that heart, Father. You know the very thing You spoke to these born-again believers on, Father, tonight. I pray, God, that as their Christian life grows and they grow into Christianity, Father, that people would see them and know that they love Jesus. Know, Father, that You have worked in their life in a mighty way. God, revival begins with us, Father. It starts in our own little circle, God. Help us to grow in Your grace. Help us to to live your mercy and your grace, Father. Help us to live a life, Father, that will point other people to Jesus Christ. And God, that we will not be afraid to talk to them. We won't be afraid to share with them, Father. Give us the strength, Father, to your honor and to your glory, Lord. Because you're the only one that can help us. You're the only one that can empower us, Father, to do this. I pray that you help these folks tonight, Father, regardless of where you, whatever you spoke to them in, Father, that you would have the honor and the glory now, and that you'd be magnified. And this one, Father, who raised their hand or looked at me, Lord, and said, pray for me tonight, Father. I'm praying for this one about their salvation need. I ask, Father, you help them, Lord. Help them tonight to make the right decision. Help them, Father, speak to their heart, Lord, and that they would have, you'd have all the honor and the glory because of it, Lord, that you'd save this soul. We'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll let these go back, heads bowed, eyes closed. Let these go back to their seat for a moment. Let these go back to your seat for a moment. Ma'am, as soon as we're done, if you'd just slip up here where I'm at, we'll have somebody talk with you. As soon as we're done up here.
Father, we thank you for the response to the Word of God tonight and for the substantiation of the messages that have been preached from this very pulpit. Bless this evangelist, Lord, who's being used of you. May he continue to have ears to hear the Holy Spirit, that he be the blessing that he has been to Dover First Baptist. Lord, I pray for this one who needs to be sure of her salvation. We just pray that, Father, you will speak to her heart. For those who came forward tonight, Father, to deal with decisions that need to be made, help them, guide them, and may they just, Father, hearken unto your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If we have a lady, Janie, would you, if she comes forward, yes. Before we do close, you know, this morning in my devotion, I was reading from Deuteronomy 7, verse 22, and it kind of hit me that, you know, God, in that passage, was teaching the Israelites, that they needed to trust Him, step by step, parcel by parcel. He didn't allow them to go into the promised land and just conquer it all at once. And if you read that, it talks about how, you know, he, in his wisdom, obviously, recognized that if he had done that, then the Bible says the wild beast would have taken over the land. And so he let them take it step by step. God taught his people to trust him step by step. And maybe tonight you made a decision. You know, you need to trust him step by step. He gave them, these Israelites, only as much responsibility as they could handle at a time. And that's what God's going to do in your life. He's not going to give you more until you do what he says. Amen. If you just got saved, you need to get baptized. Okay. Amen. You need to understand what it means to be born again and to follow the first ordinance of the church in obedience to the Lord. Be baptized. In our church, we're going to have, probably in the next week or two, baptism class for those who accepted Christ as their Savior. And we take it one step at a time. He will allow challenges that match your character and relationship to Him. He will not totally change your character at once, but He will work on you a little bit at a time. And you know the wonderful thing about God is, He'll take something that you've been struggling with just like that. But then He'll leave other things for you to work on through the Word of God and through the fellowship of the church. You trust Him. He will lead you through a process to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ if you will trust Him. He will keep working in an area in your life until it is completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. He'll never let you go in that area. Okay? Whatever that is, that sin is, the writer Hebrews talked about, so easily besets us. He's never going to let you go. He's going to continue to work on that till you surrender that. Because He wants to make you like Jesus. Amen. I really, really appreciate the message Mike preached tonight. You substantiated my last sermon when I was speaking to our congregation, that God called men like you, an evangelist and a pastor like me, to be a teacher for the perfecting of the saints. That's you. Am I right, brother? That's you, the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. But we got it backwards. The saints are saying, okay, we're here, entertain us or teach us, and then we'll just leave. No, you're to do the work of the ministry. And that's one of the reasons why I've been preaching over the last couple of weeks. The church is falling asleep. It's not the salt and the light. because we got it backwards. If we do it God's way, we're going to make a difference. And I trust that you'll take Mike's challenge. Let's do it God's way. Let's close with 527. And I picked this because I know some of you, you have friends and you have relatives that haven't come. Don't give up. Keep asking, praying for them, especially tonight. Because people need the Lord, and that's what we're going to sing. 527. People need the Lord, and we'll be dismissed. Just do both stanzas in short. May this one who made the decision tonight come forward, not to be ashamed or compelled to do something else, Lord. May they just come forward knowing that we love them, that you love them, and you love them with an undying love. Bless our fellowship. Bless the refreshments. Thank you for those provided them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.